Welcome to Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are on location in Highland, Indiana at National Marketing Group with Jim Slavo. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic.
Cool. So how I always start every podcast is I just want you to give me a little background about you. Not the company, just you.
Me.
Just you.
As a person. Okay. My name is Jim Slavo. Born and raised here in Northwest Indiana. Grew up in Hammond. Grew up in the rough side of town, which pretty much Hammond is mostly all rough now. But even when I grew up, there was a nice side back then.
Okay.
My childhood was fantastic as a whole. Definitely met a lot of people. We moved around a lot. I went to like 9 different schools by the time I was a sophomore.
Oh, wow.
So I got really good at communicating and having to just, make friends and talk and get involved. But fast forward a few years. I'm father of 4 kids.
Yeah, 4?
Love them to death, of course. Yeah, all of them. All of them, even the one that gives me trouble.
There's always one.
Yeah, they all give you trouble. It just depends on what time of life it is. Yeah. Yeah. So, they're fantastic, man. So they're, my oldest is 22, my youngest is 6, starting first grade, and I'm married to a beautiful woman, and she's built more than I deserve, that's for sure. So we just celebrated another anniversary this year. So we've been together now. Over 12 years now.
Nice.
Yeah. So nice. Fun stuff.
Cool. All right. So now let's jump into National Marketing Group. Tell me a little bit about it, when it started, driving factor to get you going on it.
Driving factor. Let's start there.
Okay.
I mentioned my kids. I was 16 years old. I found out I was going to be a father. And I knew I just had to do what I had to do. I just never thought about it. Honest to God, man. It was a matter of, I don't really know what I'm doing or how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to go figure it out. So I started putting in applications to try and get a job somewhere. And I got a job at a pizza place from a buddy of mine. They owned a pizza place, Leonardo's Pizza over in Roxanne. They might still even be in business. So worked there for a couple of days. Well, I started doing math and I'm like $4.25 an hour, diapers cost, formula cost. And I was like, wow, this is tough. So, I found a flyer on a telephone pole and it just said, hey, make $50 a day working part time. And I'm like, this is probably not true. But then it said students. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty young.
Yeah.
So let me see what I can do. So I called it. It just so happens that I got involved with, selling newspaper subscriptions. There's no glory in selling newspaper subscriptions, going door to door for a living.
So not actually throwing the papers,
no.
Just selling them.
Yeah. Well, so this is when I first got exposed to advertising and how effective an audience can be. If you catch your audience and if you capture your audience, there's so much money to be involved. So I started doing the math and trying to figure out why is it that I'm going to people's homes and they're paying $10 for a home delivery subscription and I'm making $10. I says, how are other people making money on this? And so that started my eyes, my heart was like, wow. And of course I'm thinking about my kid. My first hour on the job, I made $40.
Wow.
And I said, like,
four sales,
exactly. It's what
nice.
It was 4 sales. And I'm like, I'm not making pizzas anymore. I'm going to figure this out. So, and that was literally when it started. And I was at the time, I had just turned 16.
Wow.
Yeah. So fast forward a little bit, I was working for, turned out it was actually like a distant cousin, and helped him really train and build. He was a really good teacher, very good mentor. He taught me how to get people to actually give money after talking to him for 45 seconds. Like literally, it was a really cool trick. I'm pretty good at it still. But from there, it was just a matter of figuring out how can I scale this thing. And so I hired a bunch of my friends.
And this is still selling the subscriptions?
16. Yeah, still selling newspaper subscriptions, man. It was actually started selling the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay.
So we'd get, you know, we'd all pile up into a vehicle every day, you know, we'd pick all of our students up, and then we'd shoot out to, you know, a suburb city that where the paper is being sold, Orland Park or Frankfurt or something. And we'd just get out and we'd knock houses all day for like three, it was only about 3 hours a day. But yeah, I figured out how to consistently talk to people. And I think that's what I fell in love with was it wasn't the idea of money, although, you know, I needed money, right? But it was more of the passion of the people. Like, I loved being able to interact with people. I love being able to talk to people. I love being able to just learn how to just strike up a conversation with anybody, you know, and to be able to then carry on a conversation and feel like it actually has some merit, you know. And so took the concept and learned how to develop some others and started my own company at 16.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, it is. It started there with, I hired my first guy. So it was me and one guy for probably about 2 months. And then I hired another.
And this is still selling the subscriptions. Yeah, you just had a little downline for it, basically.
Well, so, you know, what to kind of speed this up, fast forward this, right? So that was 16 years old. That was 1994. And I ended up staying in newspapers because there was just, we provided a specialty that a lot of newspapers, it was in demand. They always needed new customers. They were always churning old customers. They were always losing customers. Every week they lost a few hundred, so they needed to make them up. So they would pay us to go get a few hundred. So that way they would always stay static or grow. If they grew by one, the motto in the newspaper industry back then was, if you grow by one copy, like, you're a champion. Right. So if it was up by one sale a month.
And in 94, that's just the beginning of the internet. So I can only imagine now.
Well, yeah, that's why we don't sell newspapers anymore, the internet. But in all honesty, we really did create something really special. And through this process, we ended up creating a nonprofit organization called Earning While Learning. You know, as I got moving along, I realized, I was like, man, how many other students, young people, whether they're in high school or in college, how many other young people really wish that they had some kind of opportunity, whether it was money, whether it was learning, whether it was just getting out of the house and actually having purpose, you know? So I created this organization and we started working with high schools. We grew it to where we were working with colleges, you know, everything from IUN, Purdue, Duke University. I mean, yeah, we were able to, Hiles Anderson was a big partner of ours for a few years too, for about 10 years. And they're local here in Crown Point. But we've had students from Highland High School, Munster, Griffith, Hammond High, Gavitt, all of Clark, everywhere, literally Portage. Valpo is probably one of the only ones we haven't messed with because we're picking students up, so we're not driving to Valpo every day from Hammond. So, but point is that...
So you're still doing this today?
Not newspapers. We do still have the Earning While Learning program.
Okay.
Yeah, but we've...
Oh, so back then you were even picking them up for newspapers.
Yeah, it was brutal. Still has, you know, that's the part of the job no one likes is the transit. Yeah. But you know what? The students that we bring in, it's priceless when you can help them grow as a person and you can, you know, they're in an environment where they're learning every day. They're learning communication skills, like they're learning people skills, they're learning confidence building. We teach
the overcoming leadership. The fear.
It's that's huge because that's the biggest problem everyone has. It's like, oh my God, you like want me to go talk to somebody, like talk to more than one person every day,
right?
Yeah, no, I think you know what, man. The biggest thing we see is we help people overcome self doubt, and that's huge. We help people seriously. Figure out who they are. I mean, they're young, you know. I mean, when I was 16, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how it worked out.
But, you know, the fact that you didn't know what you didn't know, it was probably why you succeeded.
Because you have to figure it out. You had to make a lot of mistakes in order to figure out what was right.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
You didn't know to be scared either.
Oh, I don't know. Every time I thought about my daughter coming, I was scared. What am I going to do? So I think that fear drove me to, that was the drive. You said, what was the starting point? I think that was your original question. What was the driving factor? It was.
Okay.
It was her.
Yeah. That's cool. So going from 16 and 20 some years later, the national marketing group now? Is it, I'm sure it's evolved a ton since then.
Yeah. And ironically, so we've been NMG from day one.
Okay.
Back then we were actually News Marketing Group.
Okay.
You know, the logo's been around forever, right? The logo, I'm pointing to it on the wall here. So the logo's been around forever. We created that many, many, many years ago. And so as far as newspapers go, I'll bridge this gap here, right? Because that's kind of what we're at. So we took the newspaper concept and the newspaper business, and by the grace of God, man, and a lot of hard work, we were able to secure all the contracts in Chicagoland. Like, we were the top prop producing company for the Times, the Post Tribune, the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, all of the local public, like, dailies that existed in Chicago, pretty much, the Shaw Media companies. I mean, and then we grew it to the point where we were opening up businesses and offices in other states.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, yeah, back ends of, like, 2011, 2010 it was, actually. Late 2010, I changed the business model to start scaling it nationwide. And because I had some really sharp student individuals, some of you guys out there, you know, Joe Bassos, the Tyler Mays, the Lucas Letricks, the Micah Hamiltons, Micah Holloways, the Kayla Falks. I mean, I can name a ton of people, man, that I've had the pleasure to work with. And they took the love and the spirit they had here. And when they graduated college, they went back to where they were from. And they said, I want to keep NMG going. I want to do it where I'm from. And so we set up contracts and walked in and landed deals, and we're able to take what we've done here and duplicate it. We were in 14 different states. And it was, nice. It was impressive, man. We got up to about 90 quality sales agents, man.
That's awesome.
Until the demise of the newspaper industry hit us. And yeah. And so that was right around 2013 is when we changed the model again to say, you know what? There's too many things going on outside of our control with newspapers. And we were, you know, having to scale back because budgets were being cut for newspapers. And so I had to really decide on, man, what's next? I ain't gonna lie. I mean, dude, I never thought I was going to retire selling newspapers. I always knew I had to find something else because if you put the caption on it, door-to-door salesman selling newspapers. I mean, that's not a promising career. Let's just be honest. But we took it because we became so much more than just selling newspapers. It was an experience working here. You know, yeah. Our slogans inspire everyone, and that's really the goal. That's the mission. It's about the people. It's not about the product what we're selling. It's not about, you know, the cash flow. It's about changing lives, man. It's about impacting not only the people, the staff that work here, but it's about impacting the customers. It's about impacting the clients and really just helping them find value in what we're doing every day. So that way there's purpose. I mean, money is just money.
Right.
Money comes and goes. You know, money is a tool. It's supposed to buy you happiness, I guess. I don't know.
That's a big question.
I know. That's what I guess. So.
So 13, you're at a pivot point, and how was that? How did you interact that pivot into what you're doing now?
It's a good question. I think the easiest way to sum it up is I read a book, actually. It was a Ken Blanchard book, and Ken Blanchard was big on 1 Minute Manager.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a small little chapter in one of his books.
Which book was it?
I should know that. I've read a lot of them, and I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the exact book it was in, but I can tell you the story that really helped me figure it out, right? Because for I would say at least 5 years, I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, what am I honestly going to do? I'm like, I'm a guy that was 16 years old, dropped out of high school because I had to have a full-time business and take care of a daughter. What the hell am I? I got no qualifications at this point, right? You know, and that's what you think at the time. You know, you think like, man, I'm not worthy of what am I going to create?
Right.
But I knew I had to create something. So I read this excerpt, right? And here's what it was. There was a guy came in to talk to some consultants, and he says, guys, I need your help because I just need some advice. I was like, I'm pretty confident I know what I'm going to do. I've got a business, pretty sure I'm going to close it up and just try to sell it off before I can just count my losses. And just, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll just go find something to do. I don't know. I'll go get a corporate job or something. Right? That's kind of how it worked. And And this is ad-libbing, right? This is I'm not reading it out of the book, right? This is my interpretation.
Okay.
So what happens is that the consultants say, well, okay, well, tell us about your business, right? What kind of assets do you have? And the guy's like, well, I've got about 40 staff members, and I've got a fleet of vehicles, and I've got knowledgeable. We got a training program that it's like kind of like a schooling camp kind of thing that we've taught people how to do what we do. You know, we built an infrastructure, and you know, and we don't have a lot of liquid cash, but you know, now we're making money. I mean, like our product has been in demand until recently. And they said, well, what is your product? What do you do? And he says, well, you know, everywhere in America, there's houses, and on every house, there's a TV antenna, you know, the big old metal ones.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, and man, we've been able to make a killing just, you know, installing these things. You know, we never fabricated them or anything. We didn't manufacture them. We just sold them and installed them. And he's like, okay, well, why is it changing? He's like, you know, there's cable now, you know, and there's this dish thing that it's like this huge, whatever, satellite thing that's going on, but they don't need these antennas anymore. And one day they're saying that they'll like do away with them altogether. And what am I going to do? So anyway, so the guys are like, well, back up, man. So you've got assets, man. You've got an infrastructure. You've got groundwork already laid. You know, you've got your fleet of vehicles. You've got your, you know, your trained staff. You've got salespeople that are they're out there making sales for you every day. You just got the wrong product.
Right.
And so the guy's like, you know what? Now you guys are trying to get my hopes up and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he leaves. And he was supposed to come back and have another meeting with this guy. And so he ends up coming back a few days later or so. And he says, guys, listen, he says, I want to thank you for your time. He says, I didn't think it was possible, but I think you guys gave me a good idea. Anyway, this guy went on to open up DirecTV.
Oh, wow.
This is the story I read.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
It is awesome. So So here I am. We've got a sales training program. I've got a fleet of vehicles. I've got quality sales trainers and quality salespeople. I've got knowledge, extensive knowledge in event marketing and all types of things. But we just got a horrible product. I mean, if you guys still love the newspaper out there, there's value in it still. It's just the way we get information is different now.
Product market fit.
Yeah. So what we did is we decided to say, you know, let's take all of our knowledge, let's take all of our expertise, and let's make a shift. And at that point in time, we looked into something called discount cards. And said, you know what, let's create something that we control, that no one else can dictate, and that we'll be able to implement. And it's going to always be around, whether the economy is good or bad. And honestly, it's something simple, it fits right in, is discount cards. And of course, we're going to use that as a platform to grow the marketing.
So the discount card meaning for fundraisers.
You got it. See, okay. That's part of the reason why we chose it, because a lot of people know what they are,
right?
But it's not like you can just Google it and find one you can buy for your area.
Right.
So we were like, well, let's just mass produce them. And let's, instead of going door to door every day, we were selling 1,000 newspaper subscriptions, new, brand new newspaper subscriptions a week out of this office. Oh, newspaper subscriptions. What? So we were like, okay, well, if we can, instead of putting people out there selling newspaper subscriptions where you can only get maybe 4 to 6 yeses a day, let's sell a product that is affordable. The customer can easily see them. We're going to get their money back. And it's something that we don't have to educate the market on. It's not like it's a new idea, right? All we did is enhance it.
Right.
So we started going out to a lot of small businesses, local mom and pops, main franchises, you know, everything from McDonald's to Burger King and El Salto, you know, in the area, and just said, hey, we're going to market you guys for free. And because we're going to sell the product and we're going to make our money on the front end. We're going to donate to our student college program, put kids through college. And we're going to do it so good and bring you so many customers that you're going to then pay us for your marketing. We're going to do other stuff for you. That was the mission. It's working.
Nice. Know?
And that's kind of how we morphed it over.
So the initial card is the foot in the door, basically. And then you're able to offer more services once you've already proven yourself with the card.
That's what it was then.
Okay.
Yeah, what it was then. Thankfully, we've built enough credibility to where now the card... The other thing the card was, too, it was a revenue stabilizer. That was the big thing about it, was that we were losing contracts with newspapers left and right. And just because, you know, they were filing bankruptcies, you know, all over the country.
Right.
So for us, it was a revenue stabilizer. We were able to literally, like, the very first day, I had, for this new business, when we converted over to the new business, National Marketing Group, I brought on two partners, two great people, my brother, Steve Slavo, and then also my other brother, Dave Jackson, brother from another mother. both of those guys actually have been with me for many, many years. And I knew with this new approach, new concept, new idea, two things. One, I wanted to be able to try and enjoy my family more. And then two, I just, I needed some help, right? So all equal partners on the smart card business. And anyway, first day we created it after years of work, calling through, getting approval offers, and it took time.
I'm sure with the national guys too.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, man. It still is.
Yeah.
But we went out the very first day, and we said, well, all right, we're gonna go sell this product and really see what we can do with it and find out if it's gonna work or not, because we put how many years into it. So that day, it was so intense, man. We're like, okay, this is our future or it's not our future. Let's go see if we can sell these things.
Yeah.
They were so easy to sell. Oh, it was like selling hotcakes, man. It was like selling, I don't know. It was selling something I never sold before. But it was, you know what? The joy on customers' face when they knew that they could buy something that instantly gave them value and it helped somebody out all in one. It was win-win.
Right.
And it was cheap. It's like $20.
Right.
You know? So we sold a good amount that first day, and ever since then, man, we haven't looked back. We sold 50,000 cards in our first year.
Nice.
At $20 a piece.
Nice.
Off a little plastic credit card.
And the from the business side of things, there's no out-of-pocket cost to them, so it's your revenue stream is from the consumer.
That's how it was started.
Yeah,
exactly. The revenue stream was we were collecting money from the consumer. The price point, of course, was a lot less than what it was in newspapers. But it was enough because we could sell 2 to 3 times as many.
Right.
In the same amount of time frame.
Right. And like you said back when you first started talking about it, it's the control thing too, because you're controlling it now, where the newspapers, we were just selling something that someone else was controlling.
Exactly. And that's where we would just rack our brains, because we would build these systems and just go, you know, create things that they told us were like unbelievable systems. And wow, you guys are generating so much revenue, more than any other contractor, and they're quality sales. Like, people are actually keeping our newspaper.
Right. Which there's some longevity huge. To them, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we're doing everything we can, and then we get a phone call. Literally, when we got let go from the Sun-Times, that was our major contract, because we had controlled the Sun-Times and about 7 of their local papers. I got it in an email. I had a relationship for many, many years, and apparently they had fired a lot of people, so they just sent out emails. And anyway, we ended up actually ended up wanting to negotiate with us. We became the only outside contractor that they kept out of like 20. And we did that for a few years, but it was just
still the writing's on the wall at that point.
Yeah. It was too many changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went from charging customers $20 at the time, you know, 45 seconds. We talked to people, they can feel comfortable giving you $15-$20 for a product, to now they're wanting us to collect $52 and they don't even know us in 45 seconds. It's like, and we were doing it. It wasn't easy. It wasn't long-term.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, especially when you can get all the same information online.
Well, see, that's where things started changing for me. I'm like, you know what? Look, I see the writing on the wall, man. I see the content and the information that's written, right? Good columnists and good writers are rare, right? And being able to have quality information is important. The difference is that where are people getting it? That's really what's changed. And that's what the internet's been able to do. It's just, it provides music online, right? It provides news. It provides garbage news.
I was just going to say, there's both ends of the spectrum on that one.
Tons of garbage news, right? Tons of garbage news. And that's a whole nother topic, man. We'll do a separate podcast on why our society walks through life clueless. But that's another time.
The clickbait.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Where do you want to go next, man?
So right now,
it's a lot to take in, right? I know I talk a lot.
No, that's perfect. That's why we're here. So let's just go who your typical client is right now. Like,
So what we set out to do, and again, this goes back to passion of what we've gone through, right? I mean, I don't ever want to try and be something that we can't relate to, right? We've never been a huge corporate business. I don't know that I ever want to be a huge corporate business. I don't. I already know. I don't. If I get to the point where we're able to scale to that, I'll sell my business. I just don't want it. I don't want to do it. Right. But so what we want to focus on is we want to focus on small to medium sized businesses that are local, right? Our key, what we do is hyper local marketing, right? With the technology that's out there, with geo tracking, with the ability to, you know, run promotions to targeted audience in and around your business where you can actually get people to come in the door, right? Likes on Facebook is great, but if they don't ever become a customer, how great is it? Right. So we try to specialize in these small hyper-local businesses where we can actually generate leads. We can create an actual brand for a local business, something they can be proud of. We just did a logo. I just got off the phone with a client this morning, and we just hired him on not long ago, but creating a brand new logo for him. And he's did a restructure of what his business is about, what it, you know, what their branding is. And the guy is just ecstatic, man. He calls me every day because he's excited and he knows it's going to help his business. And that's what we do. That's why we do what we do. And that's it. So if you're a local business in Northwest Indiana, we want to work with you. If you're small to medium size, if you're the big corporates, I'd like to partner with you because you probably find value that can help my clients.
Right.
But I don't, I mean,
right. I mean,
they have internal, the bigger the
company,
stuff.
Exactly. The bigger, you know, the company, they have it, they all have internally.
Yeah, they have in-house. So, right. And a lot of them are good.
Yeah.
Some of them should hire us anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
So I'm a small business owner. I give you a call. What do I expect when I call you?
Someone that's going to listen to what you want.
Okay.
And not promise you what we can't give you. I mean, we're straightforward. I think the biggest thing I've learned in business, man, is that business is relationships. It's about trust. There's always going to be a problem that comes up. Every business, every client we've ever had, there's good and bad, because some things in life are just unknown. You know, fires are going to happen, and it's how you react to the fires is what really defines your character, and making sure that you can problem solve and that you can communicate effectively with the client to get over it and not only get over it, but then to actually figure out how you can create value and opportunity out of it. You know, so if a small business is, you know, interested in doing anything, it really starts with, well, where are you headed? You know, I ask a lot of questions, kind of like you.
Yeah.
I kind of have your job when we meet with a client is, yeah, what do you want to do? Where are you going? Why are you doing this? Where's your passion? Who's your customer base? Do you have reporting? Do you have analytics? What do you got? I mean, we have to start from where are they at now versus where they want to be.
And I think that's the digging part. In all aspects, mm-hmm. people tend to try to fix the result instead of fix the issue.
It all starts with the structure.
Right.
Yeah, it really starts with the structure.
Yeah, if you don't have the right foundation in place, it doesn't matter what you do on the other side.
It's a lot of hot air. Yeah, right. That's usually what it relates to.
Yeah. So how big is your company now?
Not big enough, but big enough, right? It's how do you define size?
Well, like employee wise, like how many people you have working?
So we have our setup is a little bit unique because we've got about a handful of employees and then we've got several dozen contractors.
Okay.
Right. So we have twofold, right? So internally in the office is where we work on the agency side of things. That's where we're creating campaigns for clients. That's where we're, you know, creating logos. We're running social media campaigns. You know, we're building websites, you know, we're optimizing SEO, you know, we're doing email blasts, you know, all the things that takes to actually stay in front of people, right? We build the brand first, make sure it's beautiful, it's polished, it's consistent across all platforms. And then it's about distribution. And it's making sure that message hits the end person that you need it to hit, right? And then it's tracking conversions, right? That's
tracking. I was just about to say, how do you track the conversion on all that?
You know, the good thing is that there are so many tools out there, you know, because we build a lot of websites for our clients, we build them with the right tools, so it really helps, you know. But, you know, the reliable and the easy ones that everyone should know about is like Google Analytics is very powerful to know kind of what you're doing. You know, Facebook Analytics is pretty solid, pretty strong, you know, that's social media wise, right? But I think the other thing too is that you need to have a tracking conversion for leads. That's really what it comes down to. You know, you can email marketing, you know, different software will tell you how many open rate, you know, what your open rate is and all that stuff. So it's centralizing all of it and just making sure that you stay on top of it and streamline it to the client.
And I think that's the hard part, is centralizing it, because there are so many different avenues. Yeah. And first of all, before even going there, you have to decide that you can't do everything. Like, yeah, as a business owner, you can't do everything.
Yeah.
And being able to then, the few things that you decide to do and focus on them and do them right, still even conglomerating all that information into one useful data source is hard.
It is hard. It is hard. And that's why you have to take advantage of the tools that are already out there. Don't reinvent the wheel. You know, there are billion-dollar companies that have already created these reporting. You know, why would I not send a client their Facebook analytics? I mean, why not? Right? I mean, I don't need to put my stamp on it. I'm like, hey, this is what you did.
Right.
Right. This is, we grew your likes by 210% last month. We actually had a client just that we did that this month for, Mrs. Dornberg's.
Okay. Yeah,
Mrs. Dornberg's culinary experience in the Highlands. She's awesome. So you take advantage of the tools that are already there. And it's just about communication. That's really what comes down, communicating back and forth with the client.
And is it, with a company like yours, helping someone decipher the tools that are available? Because I think, like, for me, yeah, there's tools available, but I don't necessarily know how to read them when I look at them or be able to use that data efficiently.
To actually make a difference.
Right.
So here's what we find. And this is, again, I'm always straightforward, 100%. So oftentimes our clients, they ask these questions when we first get started because they want to know. And then reality of life sets in, and then they're just like, I'm busy. Like, that's when the most important thing in business comes into play, and relationships comes into play, is trust. And that's where we always have to make sure that we always keep their trust, you know? So yeah, we explain it to them, but once they understand it, and usually it's like, okay, well, all right, just tell me what you're going to do and make sure every month we know it's working.
Right.
And that's how the conversations generally go after we've been with them, you know, after startup, and after we've gotten them, shown them some results, you know, they trust, and that's why they hire us.
Right.
They hire us because they don't have the time or the resources or the knowledge to do it all.
And if they see in anything, if you see a return on investment, it's obviously a good and positive growing thing. So,
yeah. And you know what? And here's another thing too. You know what? Sometimes it takes a little while to get a return on investment when you're working with a new client, because it's a lot of learning, man. I mean, you know, we literally have to become mini experts of their business. I mean, that's not an overstatement. Like, we have to, like, know if we're managing a social media campaign and someone chimes in with a question about, hey, I was in there the other day and I had this happen, what do I do? Like, we got to figure that out,
right?
You know, and most times we'll reach out to the client when it happens the first time, but then we make notes so that way we know when it comes up again, we know how to handle it. You know, make sure we're doing reputation management and always keeping on top of things for them, you know, so.
And I think that's the other part of marketing, whether it's online or offline or whatever, the realization that 1 month of marketing or even 6 months of marketing is not going to turn your business around. You have to be in it for the long haul.
It is. It's a consistent push.
A commitment and consistency and the momentum of it, that stuff all ties together. And as soon as you break cycle, you start over.
Well, you know what? I have one word in my brain because I was with one of my favorite clients yesterday. Her name's Laura from Journey Senior Living. And she literally said to me, she's like, our business is very cyclical. And, you know, some months it's just down, you know, and we don't know, but we know it's down because it's not just us. It's the industry, you know, but understanding that. And sometimes there are some small businesses that they get it. There's so many smart small business owners. Like, they know their business. They just wouldn't know it on paper, if that makes sense. Like, their gut, they know what they're doing that's working, but they don't have the reassurance that it actually works because they've never had someone else track it.
Well, and also a lot of times the small businesses, they don't have the time to look at it from an outside view.
Mm-hmm.
So they only see it from inside out, which is completely different than outside in.
So, and you, and just so you guys know, this guy right here, he's been telling me some impressive stories about some of the things he's accomplished. You fully understand the difference between working in your business versus working on your business.
Oh, totally.
And I think that is the biggest challenge that small business owners face is, how do I have enough time? I'm trying to do day-to-day operations. How do I have time to think about how to grow it?
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day.
Right.
You know,
And like we were mentioning before too, the sometimes the businesses do need an outside person to help them out.
Yeah.
And they don't think that they can afford that person, but small tweaks here or there makes the return on investment worth it.
Yeah, and that's you hit it on the head, because so there's so many. How do we, you know, what we see most common? Here's one of the biggest things that we see. There are businesses out there. They know that they need to market. They know that they need to be on social media. So they have someone internally just figure it out. And they don't, they're like, well, it's not really going to cost me. We'll just figure it out. But the fact is, it is costing you, because it's costing you two ways, right? Go ahead.
The soft cost, man.
Man, it's
people don't.
That's what kills you.
Yeah.
You've got someone that is not trained to do what they're trying to do. So you're paying them to waste time. And most often they put out stuff that's going to negatively affect your brand. Mm-hmm. So now not only are you paying someone when they could be focused on what you hired them for, now they're also putting stuff out there that's really, it's just sucking up time and it's not producing any results because they just don't know how to do it.
Right.
And so we see that almost in every businessman.
Or on the other side of it, they just get tired of the person that's doing it because they don't know. They do it sporadically. So they do it great for a month, but then month two, they're like, oh, I got to go back to my other, you know, what I was hired for.
You got it. Cause they're wearing seven hats.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, we live in this world where it's instant. We need that instant gratification, and you might be killing it for a month, but nothing's coming in the door. So it must not
back
be working.
Back to the consistency.
Yeah. Yep. You gotta ride it out, man.
Yeah.
It's like the stocks, I guess, right? You got to ride it out.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go in and out and expect, miracles.
Yeah, there's rare miracles in life, man. Yeah. And I'm not a miracle maker. I'm gonna tell you right now, I am not a miracle maker. We're a grinder. That's what we are. We grind it out, man.
So we're gonna shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Back to the beginning, maybe back to when you were 16, or maybe just back to 2010, 2013 area.
Okay.
One piece of advice you would give your former self.
Oh man. I think you kind of hit it on the head. Stop trying to do so much. I think it's a part of natural evolution, but I've learned that you can't be everything. And I still struggle with that. 100%. I still struggle with it to this day. You know, so I would say to anybody that's trying to start a business, I know you want it to happen tomorrow. You want it to happen yesterday. You've been working for 5 years already on it, you know, maybe even 10, and it's not where it needs to be. It's never going to be where it needs to be. If you're an entrepreneur, it's never good enough. That's what I've learned. And so it's a matter of watch your numbers, stay focused on the things that are driving revenue and that are keeping people happy, right? What are the key things, right? The key primary indicators that you're doing, that your business is generating, that's making the difference, and live in that space. That's what I would have told myself years ago. I still tell myself today.
And is it just because you got distracted by the non-revenue producing things, or is it because you thought that only you could do it as good as you could do it, no one else could do it to that level?
I'd like to say it's not the second one, but you know, I think we all, anyone that has, that's a visionary, they have the vision that they feel should be. And it's hard to translate that and to other people, right? I ended up going back to school and I graduated with a communication degree. It's one of the best things I ever did in my life, right? And what I learned in that process as a grown man, I went back to school at 25 years old. And what I learned is
that... You probably got more out of it than most 18-year-olds.
I did, man. Honestly, I love school. If I had enough time, I'd go back. I may become a teacher one day. I don't know. I've thought about it for many years. I just love it. I love learning and I love helping people, you know. So, but what I figured out though is that, you know, shared vision is you can't put a price tag on shared vision. You know, when dynasties are created, when big, huge corporations are created, it's never because of one person. It's never because of one idea. It's a collaboration of people that are on the same page. And they live it and they work it and they grind it every day. It's like a marriage.
Yeah.
It really is a good marriage, right?
Yeah.
which a realistic marriage, what's up and downs and all that good stuff, right? Putting out fires.
Yeah. But the shared vision and the cultural aspect. Like you gotta have that business culture.
You do.
And grow it down to the lowest employee or the newest employee, if they don't buy into that vision, that overall vision, then it's
just a paycheck.
Right.
And that's honestly, so, and I think I mentioned this earlier, but Inspire Everyone, right? Our slogan, that's what we always stand behind. And I will tell you this, I stayed in the newspaper business so long because I had so many people that were reliant on that revenue and that culture. It was hard to change. It was hard to change and to break out of it. And, you know, I think that it evolved well, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the transition, I should say.
And like you said, though, the entrepreneurial spirit, you're always looking for how to improve it.
You are. I won't go into, but there's another book that I read too that talked about the different types of personalities that make up a successful business, you know, and they say that the visionary should not be the one making all the plans all the time. You know, you've got to have someone that's more of a structured black and white operations minded guy.
Right.
You know, you've got your entrepreneur, your operations guy, you've got your sales.
Do you remember what book that was?
I don't, man.
You know, I haven't read it yet, but Rocket Fuel, is that what it was by chance?
I don't think so.
Rocket Fuel talks about having the two people in the top, that you have the visionary, but then you actually have the operations guy. And those two people usually aren't the same person.
No, and they usually don't get along all the time. But right. It's the shared vision, and it's the end goal that keeps them in sync with each other. Believe it or not, it might have been another Ken Blanchard book of building teams.
Okay,
he's got a book about building teams, and it may have been in that one.
Okay,
yeah, I was on a big kick of his for quite a while.
Yeah,
I mean it's small, short chapters, things you can apply firsthand.
They're easy reads, sit down and read them, and then
read a whole book in an hour and a half.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
marking it up and all that stuff, and then using it as a reference. You know, mm-hmm. doing training meetings on it and just helping people put it in everyday life.
Yeah, the 1 minute manager, I used to give that book out often.
Yeah, it's great, man. It was really—it's one of the best books ever.
Yep. All right. So outside business, what kind of stuff? You said four kids, a big age span there, 22 to 6.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff occupies your time?
You know, what I love to do in my time is really spend time with the family. That's what life is, right? You know, the driving force was family, right? So the struggle and the outcome is always to figure out how to keep work and life balance, and making sure that even when I'm out of work, that my mind is away from work, right? So what I'm always working on is making sure that, I have to work on relaxing. That's the truth, man. But spending time with my family, we just got back from vacation. Every year we always go to a wonderful place down in Florida called Marco Island, where like the average age is like 72 years old. There's like the town rolls up at 5 o'clock and there's literally nothing to do there but go to the beach and the pool, you know? So that's where we were at. But we love doing little things together, like, you know, blueberry picking, you know, planting flowers in the yard, you know, just
family time,
just kicking it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, trying to have no agenda.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing about it. Trying to have no agenda. I'm a huge Packers fan too. So we're actually going to go to family day, coming up, August 5th at Lambeau Field.
Nice.
That's just going to be awesome.
Cool.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Cool. Packers fan in Northwest Indiana, you probably get some heat for that.
I love it. It's a great talking point. It is.
Cool. So is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about?
Oh, wow. That's a...
I know that's a loaded
broad question, man. You know, I want to talk about you a little bit.
No.
Yeah, just a little. Okay. Just a little. So here. So look, so I thought, you know, you want to know how I found out about you. Have you figured it out yet? Because, you know, you didn't reach me, right? I reached out to you.
Okay.
Did you ever wonder how I found you?
Yeah, I didn't.
So you reached out to one of my clients.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, is this guy going to try and sell me some stuff? Or like, can you check this out for me?
Cool.
And so I did. And of course, checking him out, you know, for one of my clients, and found out that, man, Mark will come and do a podcast for you and really help tell your story is what it sounds like, right?
That's exactly what it is. It's about you telling your story and someplace that people can come and listen in a non-pressured way.
Yeah. And honestly, this has been really just kind of chill mode. It's been really relaxing. But so why are you doing what you're doing? Just so people know, because here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, man. I'm just going to tell you right now. And this goes back to that entrepreneur. I'm always trying to do more than what I should, but look, what you're doing is a super quality thing, and it's needed.
Thank you.
100%, man. I appreciate it's needed. It.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work with you to figure out how I can get you in line with my at least a dozen clients.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because we, you know, you're creating good quality content. You're telling a story that they need to hear, and that they're, that the fans, the people, audience base, they want to know, you know, they want to know some of the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
They want to know who are outside of business. Who is Jim Slavo?
Right.
Right. You know, so that's, yeah, I want to put you in process, but where are we going with these podcasts? Tell everybody, just so people understand, what is the main goal here?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just a place to feel the unpressured, learn the unpressured story of the people, and learn why you want to trust you or other people on the guests. And they don't have that, you know, you can put stuff on a website and your personal website. You don't go into detail about stuff.
Right.
It's really just about
interpersonal relationships.
It's about the relationships, yeah, and about building that trust before they even meet you.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that someone could listen to this, say, hey man, this guy, I like the way he sounds. I like what he's saying. I want to reach out to him and maybe do business with him. And that's what it's really about.
Got it. Yeah. And you know, and it's been pretty, just so if there's anybody out there that's ever thought about doing a podcast or that might be interested, as my wife is calling, she's like, hey, what are you doing on TV? Okay. So, I'll call you back, sweetie. So if there's anybody that, that Mark ever approaches, here's what I'll tell you. The experience has been super simple. I mean, he showed up, we started chit chatting, just getting to know each other a little bit. And next thing I know, I'm just chilling here at a microphone and we're just talking.
Cool.
We're just talking, man. It's all we're doing.
That's all it's about. It's no pressure. Like you said, I'm not trying to sell you anything.
So comforting. It's coming from a sales guy and a marketing guy. It's so comforting that like you're not gonna be like, oh hey, by the way, man.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm glad that it all went smooth. You know, we traded a few emails and here I am. So.
Yeah, it was super easy. So if there's anybody out there that is interested in, you know, possibly getting your business out there, reach out to me, Jim Slavo at nmginspires.com. Go to our website, nmginspires.com, or you can go on Facebook, of course, and find us. Or you can also look up Tri-Town Advice Givers, right? That's where you'll find Mark. Is Tri-TownAdviceGivers.com?
Tri-TownAdviceGivers.com. Tri-Town Booking, you can kind of
book
your thing and read what it's about. And we also, we're on Facebook and all that stuff, Tri-Town Advice Givers. So
I'm going to throw you a curveball. I haven't talked about this just yet, and we won't open up a whole new conversation. But one thing we haven't even touched on, if you grab that little flyer right there next to you. Yep, that one right there. So one of the things that we launched through some great partnerships was called, it's an online marketing site just for Northwest Indiana. It was built just for NWI. And it is a place that's got three goals. It's help people save money and time. It also helps local businesses get promoted. And then we give back to good causes, right? So we partnered up with the Crossroads Chamber. And Joey Laxalinas is a local photographer in the area. He's phenomenal. This guy, he should be on your show too.
Okay.
But Sue Reed from the Crossroads Chambers, you know, saw that there's value in this. So if you, I would love to talk off mic about how we can get your podcast on mycommunitysavings.org.
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we've definitely, we launched it in October and we're out there every day. This is tied to our discount cards, right? So when someone buys one of our discount cards for $20, they get offers on the discount card. And then they also get a free membership to our website where there's tons of offers, discounts, coupons, web links to local businesses where you can save money with coupons and deals. You can watch videos of, you know, of local companies. You can actually get 360 tours of some businesses. And it's got all of the directory information. So address, contact info, you name it, images.
Cool.
It's awesome. So we'll figure that out.
Yeah. We'll check it out. So to wrap up, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Social, website, phone number, whatever.
Just call
you
my agent. No, I'm kidding. I have no agent. Honestly, you know, the best thing is just go to our website.
Okay.
You know, the website, nmginspires.com.
Okay.
Being in the web business, we've got contact forms everywhere. So, you know, just fill one out and we'll get back to you.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man.